Good morning.
Good morning.
We would like to thank our sponsors. Our altar flowers are brought to us by Neil
Pfaffenberger.
Yeah. Oops. In honor of Debbie's birthday, at least I can pronounce that one. Radio Ministry is sponsored by Sandy Hall in honor of Stu and Maureen's birthdays. Let me see. If you are blessed by this radio ministry and would like to help support it, your gift would be appreciated. Gifts may be sent to the Trinity Unity Methodist Church, United Methodist Church, sorry, at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour. We also would like to invite anyone and everyone to join us in our services.
And now we'll be blessed with special music by my darling husband, Mr. Joseph Abshire, Cry Out to Jesus by Third Day. I invite you to sing along with him.
Please sing along with us. My voice is not working today. I think they were tricking me a little bit. There we go.
heart is grateful in forgiveness, mercy and healing. Easy wherever you are. Oh, the helpless.
Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased."
As the sky was torn open, as the Holy Spirit lit upon our Lord, I know that the baptism of the Lord was last week, but I cannot think of a better time for this scripture and this message to be preached than for us to ignite our congregation and our listening audience as we walk forward to carry the Holy Spirit into our community, to bring the little children into this church, to give them the love that they so desperately need. For there is one thing no one can take for us. I worked for a therapeutic foster home for about 6 years. And beloved, I absolutely love what I do now. I ran from my call forever. I did not feel worthy. I was terrified. I did not feel I knew the word well enough. But when I worked for that therapeutic foster home, I worked with children 4 to 17, the most abused in our state. And I was able to give them something that no one can take away from them. A relationship with the living Lord Jesus. In the time period that I was there, 500 children passed through. Only 3 did not pray with me. Only 3 did not pray with me before they left. And they all had a fair duration there. Some of the hardest and coldest teenagers that you've ever seen. And granted, they had good reason They had good reason to be that way. Would utter some of the most tender prayers as I knelt beside their beds and prayed. Going to camp and working with children, working with those abused children, there is no greater privilege. It was my 5-year-old son that ushered me into the presence. He got on a bus with his sisters. He ran after them. And I'm not proud of this, folks. His mama was drinking. And he ran after his sisters. And I saw him run after them. And I saw his sister catch him up and put him up on the bus. And that boy come home from vacation Bible school that day. And he looked at me and he said, "Mama, are you saved?" And beloved, that was 29 years ago and I'm still ashamed of my answer. I said, "Raymond, if you want to believe that, you go ahead and believe that. But Mama has different beliefs. I've always believed in the Native American way. And I believed with the connection of everything. I just didn't have a relationship with the Great Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit." That little boy cried so hard that his shoulders shook all day long. And he prayed every single day for 2 years. Until one day, a friend of mine who had come into recovery a year after me invited me to church. And I'm telling you, I know I said no. Because that was the last place I wanted to be. I grew up hearing that y'all was hypocrites. Me being the biggest one now, I said, what better place for us? I heard all those folks that go to church are hypocrites. Well, aren't we all? And isn't this a place where we can come and be real with one another? Because if we can't here, beloved, we can't anywhere. And if we can't be real and we can't connect and we can't invoke the Spirit's presence, we're in an awful lot of trouble. And this nation and this world is already in enough trouble. That little boy prayed until somebody asked me to church. And I saw the Holy Spirit the very first day. And y'all might think I'm crazy. And I don't care. I am actually crazy. But when it comes to seeing the Holy Spirit, having visions, having the Word revealed to me, I was so desperate. I cried out to Jesus. And He began revealing Scripture to me before I ever even opened a Bible. I remember the third chapter of Ezekiel would come to me a lot. And I'd look at people, "Ezekiel, is that a book in the Bible?" All through there was the presence of the Spirit, even in the Old Testament. The first time I went to church, there was a wonderful, powerful, anointed singer standing up front. I walked in the church expecting the roof to cave in, because there wasn't a bigger sinner. I've committed about every sin there is. Whether in thought, word, or deed, I was terrified. And I went in and I sat by my friend and I looked up. And I got to know this anointed, beautiful singer later. But I looked up, and have y'all ever seen a heat wave? When the air starts moving because it's so hot? I looked up around Sheila, and the air was moving around her. That kind of freaked me out. My friend looked at me, he said, "Angel, what's the matter?" I said, "Do you see that?" He said, "No, what do you see?" "Uh-uh, little man in white coats is going to come get me." Mm-mm. Finally, I told him, "I see the air moving around that singer. There's something wrong with me." He said, no, no, honey, I don't see it. But I have friends who do. That's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit began working mightily in my life. And today I know the dreams that I had as a child that came to reality was the Holy Spirit preparing a young girl enmeshed in a drug culture to raise her brother and sister so that we would survive. Today I know all of the things that seem so strange to me that I learned not to talk to people about was the Holy Spirit. And I have learned from people who have been in ministry for years that these things are not strange. That we all experience the Holy Spirit in different ways. But beloved, if we really begin a time of prayer, we will experience a mighty act of the Holy Spirit's presence here. I don't know about y'all, but I love to pray different names to God. And my mentor told me to pray the scripture back to God, remind him of his promises. And I do, especially when it comes to healing. Job 33:4. Breath of the Almighty, life-giving breath of God. Ruha, the wind, the Holy Spirit. And if you have not experienced a mighty move of the Holy Spirit that breaks you out and goosebumps all over and makes you want to drop to your knees, stick around, because I'm going to pray you to that experience. The Comforter. The Holy Spirit is our Comforter, our Counselor, our Guide, and He gives us strength. John 14:16-26 and 15:26. And then Romans 8:26. When we know not how to pray, the Spirit intercedes for us in ways too deep for our understanding. Spirit of Counsel, Isaiah 11:2. The Holy Spirit will counsel and teach us as we grow in Christ. And I pray to always remain teachable. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there are those of you here today that know the Word backwards and forwards. And I want to sit at your feet, because we all have things to learn from one another. The Good Spirit, Nehemiah 9:20 and Psalm 143:10, He is indeed good. He will teach us and lead us. Lead us into all goodness. People freak out when I say, I don't care if you're drinking, I don't care if you're smoking, I don't care if you're having sex before marriage. I want you to come into this church. I care that you know Jesus Christ. And then the Holy Spirit begins a work on you. And the work upon Terry. And the work upon Nikki. And the work upon Larry and Sandy looks different than the work upon me. Recovery tells me that I offer up all of my defects of character, all of my bad habits. And I pray that God removes them, strips me of them, so that they do not stand in my way of serving you. But guess what? I don't get to pick which ones the Holy Spirit decides to work on first. And neither do you. You can pray. You can ask God to remove things. But the Holy Spirit will cleanse you in a way that He feels is best for you as you grow in Him. And my position as a pastor is to love every single person who walks through this door, red, yellow, green, purple dot, or polka dot. I don't care. And I don't care what denomination you are. And I don't care if you've ever been to church before. And I don't care if you're living with somebody and you're not married. What I care about is, do you know my Savior? Do you know my best friend, the Holy Spirit? That's what I care about. And then I walk with you as He teaches you. And if I get to walk real close with you as He teaches you, He teaches me. I told a friend the other day, they thanked me for spending just a wee bit of time with them. And I said, oh, no, no. You see, in order for me to spend that time with you, I have to be really close to my Father. So I enjoy spending my time with you. John the Baptist said something interesting in Mark. He, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Those words were prophetic, beloved. Those words would be underscored by Jesus' baptism when the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. Pentecost should be the third greatest holiday in the church, next to Christmas and Easter. But do you know that if you ask the general population who claims to be Christian, they say, I heard the word, but I don't really know what it means. Pentecost is the birth of the church. Do it again, God. Because that day, the Paraclete, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, let loose upon folks. People thought that Peter and the disciples were drunk up there, but they weren't drunk. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And a result of that Spirit was that everybody heard in their own language the Word of God. And they were so drawn by the Holy Spirit that they became the church. The birth of the church, Ecclesia, was born that day. My favorite holiday is Pentecost. I love Christmas. I love the birth of our Savior. I really love Easter. I love Good Friday and Ash Wednesday for what they mean. But I love Pentecost. That is the birth of the church. Because our job in any way, shape, or form. As I commissioned Nicole, I asked her, do you renounce evil? Do you accept the power of Christ? Will you be a representative of Christ Jesus? She now has a formal position to do that, as do I. But all of you, in whatever way you can, are also representatives of our Lord. Holy Spirit, Psalm 51:11, Luke 11:13, Ephesians 1:13. And 4:30. Those are some powerful passages there. God is the Spirit. He is holy. He is the Spirit of holiness. In case you haven't noticed, I kind of went off my script there. Apostle, is that okay? I love this book. I ordered it the other day, The Healing Presence. And it's taught me something very important. I've always known that the Holy Spirit's presence caused a mighty move of God, caused people to weep. No matter what was coming out my mouth, it had nothing to do with those words. When people start crying in church because of the music or because of the message, it is because of the Holy Spirit's presence. But this book has begun to teach me that this is how healings come about. This is how spiritual growth comes about. Is ushering in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, even greater works will ye do in my name. If we believe, if we are in the presence of the Holy Spirit. The saddest thing in all the world for me is that everyone thinks that all that happened back in the New Testament and it's all done and gone and over. Beloved, it's not. I'm not going to call out anybody in this congregation other than me and my husband, because I know he's okay with it. But I've heard some of y'all's stories, and there are walking miracles in this church. I know he is, and I know I am. Born addicted to heroin. Raised in 22 different foster homes and institutions. Beaten. And abused in ways you can't possibly imagine and would not be proper for me to mention. And my God has not only healed me, but I don't regret a single bit of it. I have no resentment. I have no anger. I have no pain left from any of that. What I have is gratitude. My mentor told me a long time ago that my greatest ministry tool was my life experience with the Holy Spirit's presence. That when I remember to invite the Holy Spirit in before I offer pastoral counsel, before I preach the word, before I pray over someone, real change happens. We're going to begin from now on 5 minutes before the service, and if it grows, we'll do 10 minutes before the service. All of you that want to, definitely the liturgist and myself, morning I didn't make it. We're going to all meet up here and we're going to pray over this service for all of us here, for all that are listening, whether on the radio or on YouTube, or whether you take a piece of the message and share it with somebody. We are going to pray for the Spirit's presence over all of that. I have here a great theological message. But the Holy Spirit decided that I was just going to share with you. I'm a living example. My husband's a living example. And my prayer is that through Lent, I will have a few of you share a little bit of your testimonies. I will have a few of you share where you see God working in our community. Because, beloved, that's what people really want to hear, is how has God changed your life, Cassie? How has God changed your life? PJ, Beth, you work with people every day that can either have life-altering changes or can be caught in the clutches of hell. We are grace extenders. We are the ones who usher the Spirit of our living Lord Jesus Christ into the lives of others. And what we need to work on between now and Pentecost, in addition to what Nicole is going to be doing, in addition to the things that I'm going to be doing, is we need to work on rebuilding, rekindling our own spirits and our own excitement. I challenge everyone here today to find you a spiritual practice or a book that is going to rekindle your spirit. And then, Nicole has some amazing plans for us for the next several months, to where we can fellowship together. And we can do it safely, but we need that time of fun. We need to connect with each other. And we need to get excited about church again. I hope it's in this one. But if you ain't finding it here, go somewhere else. Because you need the Holy Spirit. Because it's the only thing. There's a song Tasha Cobb sings. I don't ever want to abuse your grace, because it's the only thing that makes me want to change. We need, like the scripture said, repentance. We have to repent when we've hurt somebody. When we've done something wrong, we have to have true, gut-felt sorrow. And then, we turn from that. And I mean fully turn from it. Leave the guilt behind. Leave the shame behind, because it's just going to weigh us down. And pick up the power. Those baptismal vows, the power that Christ gave us. And be a representative of the Holy Spirit. My prayer for all of you, and I will be praying it. Nicole added to our website a new prayer option. You can have the prayer shared with the church. You can have the prayer shared with just the pastor. What are the other options, Nikki? A prayer group and an email prayer chain. And we will begin the prayer group back up again. We are really going to focus on prayer. We're going to focus on rekindling our spirit. So let us light a fire deep down in our soul that cannot be controlled. A fire of the Holy Spirit. A mighty breath, wind of the Holy Spirit.